Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. God bless you and welcome to The Rock Church. Hello to everybody joining us online or watching at a later time. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock Church, and we just love y'all. God bless you. My wife's here today with me for a few moments, and so I just want to give her some flowers on Mother's Day. Come on now. Love you. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for being the mother in our house, for taking such great care of your kiddos, Levi and Anaya, and me, and y'all don't even know the sacrifice that happens in this woman's life so that we can do what we do and to make everything work. So I love you. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for clapping your hands for my wife. Thank you. And happy Mother's Day from Pastor Miles and his wife, Debbie. They send their love, and they can't wait to be back here next week, starting off a brand new series. And it's our We Need to Talk series. How many remember that from last year? And we took some of your survey results and put them together. Can't wait to kick off next week. First week's going to be on purpose, direction, and meaning of life. And so if you've ever asked that question, man, what is life all about? What's God's will, purpose for my life, some direction? Come back next week. I know it's going to be awesome, and Pastor Miles has a great message for you. But today, Mother's Day, we know that the word mother, and just this day specifically, comes with a lot of stuff. You don't even got to raise your hand. We already know that for some, this is the best day ever because you just had your baby, and God answered that prayer, and it's an awesome, awesome day. For some, Mother's Day is difficult. Because you've lost a mother, or you've lost a child, or you've miscarried again, and there's just a lot of different perspectives. And so we just want to speak a blessing over you. I'm going to hold these flowers, and my wife has something she just wants to speak over your life to encourage you. So.
Welcome, everyone, to Rock Church. My name is Vanessa, and I hope that this poem blesses you. To those who gave birth this year, we celebrate with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage and failed adoptions, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility fraught with disappointment, we mourn with you. And we wait and we pray with you. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, and they are all around here, we need you. Amen. To those who carry the responsibility of being a single parent, we applaud you and we desire to rally around you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who have lost their mothers, we grieve with you. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we thank you for being faithful in your season and loving those around you. To those who will be empty nesters this year, we rejoice with you during this bittersweet and exciting new journey. And those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we celebrate with you. On this Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. And we have real warriors in our midst. We thank you for your dedication to the Lord and your family. We thank you for obeying God's call in your life as you disciple your children. We thank you for stewarding your motherhood and giftings well. We see you, we appreciate you, and we celebrate you. Happy Mother's Day.
Awesome. Happy Mother's Day. Love you. Thank you. Yo, let's pray. Would you pray with us? Just a final blessing over the moms. Lord, thank you for this day, a chance to worship you first and foremost, but also a day to celebrate and honor our moms, our mothers, and all the different ways that that's expressed, spiritual moms, stepmoms, and moms-to-be, and those that are in grief and mourning. So we just bless them today. Holy Spirit, would you fill them up and cover them and speak through me as we open up your scriptures. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time for all the moms, church. Love you, babe. Love you. Love you. Love you. I'm actually allergic to flowers, by the way. And my wife doesn't really like flowers, so those are going home with somebody else. But it was beautiful up here. Beautiful up here. Hey, if you're new, if you're a guest, welcome and God bless you. Thanks for coming today. You picked a great day. If you're, by the way, I see a lot of great outfits on Mother's Day. So a lot of you dressed up. Make sure to get that photo booth opportunity on your way out and take that picture and that memory home with you. But I was thinking in preparation for today, how many of you just by show of hands, you love looking for the perfect gift? You love shopping for that perfect gift, especially on Mother's Day? A few hands. Okay. How many of you are like, I'm all good. If I could just do a gift card and flowers, that would be awesome. Just kind of mail it in. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's tough, man, especially on Mother's Day. It's hard. Instagram starts sending out ads of potential Mother's Day gifts. Did that one time. Will never, ever, ever do it again. 6 weeks later, it arrived. 6 weeks later. Came from some other country, and look at this. Now it's Memorial Day. Happy Mother's Day. Awesome. The news will start to do kind of that top 10 list of best Mother's Day gifts you can afford under $50 or under $100, and it's tough. This year, the kids and I, we went with hair done, nails, mani-pedi, and facial. I thought that, and I'll watch the kids. That was pretty good, right? No clapping hands for that one. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I'm confident. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Didn't hurt my feelings. I thought it was okay. I thought we did it. I thought that was high five myself, man. A couple years ago, though, we got an Alexa, and I think this makes a great Mother's Day gift because it's the gift that keeps on giving. I really do, because here's the thing. When my kids have, like, regular, ordinary issues, they usually go to Mom, right? Hey, Mom, where's my clothes? Mom, where's my jacket? Mom, what's for dinner? What is it hot outside? Do I have to wear shorts? Mom, we ran out of snack. Who ate all the snacks for the lunches? My bad. You know, they just come to Vanessa with all these questions. But Alexa's been helping out, y'all. She's been helping out because my kids now can come to Alexa. I don't see if we couldn't get it work last service, but we'll try it again. Alexa, what's the weather like? Sometimes you got to be stern with Alexa. Alexa, what's the weather like today? It's Mother's Day. She's off. She's off today. She's off. I'm going to unplug you. It's disrespectful. She worked earlier. We had it all dialed in, but she's off today. That's all right. But my kids can go up to Alexa and be like, Alexa, what's the weather? Like, oh, it's 75 degrees. Perfect. Alexa, they can. Alexa helps with homework, everybody. What's 5 + 7? 12. Hey, come on now. My kids can go up and, Alexa, we need some more gummy bears. Add it to the grocery list. She's over there taking notes for the grocery list for my kids. But Alexa is great. But as great as she is and as great as some of the best dads are, how many know that mothers just do it different? Mothers are just gifted differently. To be a mother is a gift. To be a mother is special in its own way. Mothers know how to get things done. They know how to take care of people and they know how to take care of business. It's amazing to be a mom. It's a gift, but sometimes, not all the time, sometimes to be a mother, from what I've seen, can sometimes feel like a burden. And don't get it twisted with that word burden. This isn't like, oh, I wish I didn't have this, because there's plenty of women in the room that say, I wish I could be a mom. But when I say burden, all that means is it's heavy to carry. And moms know what you carry is heavy, because the nature of motherhood is to nurture. And to nurture means I take care of things, I make things better, I improve them, I develop them, I push them, I cover, I protect. And that's beautiful, but all the moms at church today know sometimes that feels like a burden. It's heavy. And I wonder if anybody have ever said this to your family: you just don't know the burden I carry. You just don't know, you just don't understand what the weight that's on me. You don't understand the sacrifice. You don't understand the struggle, my situation. But here's the good news this morning. Our Savior Jesus, your Savior Jesus, he knows what you carry. He understands what you carry, not just because he's God and he knows everything. No, watch this, because Jesus himself had a mother. He had a mother, and I wanna read a story to you out of the Gospel of John. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And it's the gospel according to John. And in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, is a story about one of the very first miracles, the very first miracle that Jesus does. It's also known as a story where Jesus turns water into wine. How many know that story where Jesus turns water into wine? Look at you. You're like, I know that story. Yep. It's also the story of Jesus going to the wedding at Cana. All of that stuff happens, but it's also the story about Jesus and his mother. And it's a picture of their relationship dynamic. It's in John chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 12. This is out of the NIV version, and it says this: On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim, all the way to the top. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." Now, what's the master of the banquet? This is the toastmaster. This is the person that is the MC at the wedding that says, "Here comes the bridal party. Hey," and welcomes them. That's this guy right here. He's the master of the banquet. So they did so. In verse 9, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom, that's the groom, and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples, they believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. So we have a wedding. It's a celebration. By the way, Jesus likes to party. I don't know what Jesus you read about. I don't know what Jesus you got in your Bible, but some of them be like, "Ooh, Jesus parties." Jesus was invited to all the celebrations. He was invited to all the weddings, especially after this thing. Did you hear what Jesus did? Invite Jesus to my party. You want me to bring something? Just bring Jesus. Jesus had a good time. Jesus was the life of the party. He was there. It was the wedding. They were dancing. They were doing the whole thing. It's a celebration. A miracle takes place. In fact, it's the very, very first public miracle that Jesus does. He's lived his life to this point. He's in his 30s. No public miracles have started. The ministry is just going. But a nurturing, loving mother helps make the first miracle happen. I want to teach to you from this text a message entitled "Good News for Mothers." Good news for mothers. It's not just good news for mothers. It's good news for everybody on Mother's Day. But I want to give you the first point. If you're taking notes, if you like taking notes, by the way, they say that people that take notes are 50% smarter than everybody else. So just in case you want to take some notes. Here's the first part of the good news. Jesus understands the pressure to perform. Jesus understands the pressure that you and I feel, that mothers feel, to perform. In John 2 of our story, in verse 3, it says, "When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.'" Now, listen to this. No wine is no good. No wine is no good. It's embarrassing. Because wine historically represented joy, celebration, good times. And so the joy has essentially run out. And again, historically, in this time, in Jewish culture, the groom or the groom's family was responsible at the wedding for bringing the wine. But the wine and the joy has run out. Now, we don't know why it's run out, but maybe it's because the groom is cheap. I don't know. Last service, someone over here said, "Yep, that's why." He was cheap. Maybe it's because they were bad planners. Maybe it's because they didn't have a whole lot of money. And they just hope, man, it would just, hopefully no one drinks too much. We'll just, you know, get what we can get. We don't know. And for reasons we don't know, and it's not in the text, Mary, maybe because she's helping with the wedding, feels the burden and the pressure of the groom to perform. I thought maybe it's because Mary, because she was there, and then Jesus and the disciples got invited later. Maybe she was already there. Maybe she was part of the planning committee. I don't know. Maybe because it's a hot day and maybe the wedding's outside and they're thirsty and all the water's gone, the wine's gone. She's like, "Jesus, help a mother out. Let me get something to drink." I don't know. Maybe it's because she's a mother and she understands and she sees and she feels the burden that's on the groom and the pressure he feels to perform. We don't know, but maybe Those are the reasons. Because the pressure to perform means I gotta make it look like everything's good. I gotta make it look like it's all going perfect at this wedding. It's gotta be polished. I gotta pretend that nothing is wrong. The pressure to perform is the burden of looking like everything is fine. Nothing wrong over here, new moms. Everything's going great with my 10 bags, and I got my thing over here. I got the diaper blowout on this side, a little bit on my pants, and everything's fine. Don't look over here. I got YBs in the back and Cheeto Puffs in my ears, and I got everything's good. Just out here juggling 7 hats. It's the pressure to perform. any golfers at church today? Any golfers? A couple golfers. Now, I grew up playing a lot of golf, and I got pretty good. And I think I got pretty good. In my high school time, I played for a couple schools, and then did some tournaments locally. And one tournament, I won the long drive. And so what they would do is, on certain holes, they would mark out, this is going to be the long drive hole that was in the tournament. And so I won it for my age group. At the end of the tournament, they brought out all of the winners by age and put us together. And they brought us back to the first hole, and they lined up all the other kids along the fairway. And then we took turns hitting the long drive to see who was going to be the overall winner. And so I was pretty good, and it's my turn to go. And for whatever reason, I felt the pressure of the moment. And my arms started to go numb. I was like, uh-oh, this ain't going to be good. Because I ain't swinging with no arms right now. This is going to be real bad. And I got up there, and I swung, and I missed the ball completely. I hit behind the ball. I hit a chunk of grass, went out, hit the ball, and the ball dribbled in front of me. Now, here's what happened. Because I was pretty good, my friends all thought I was playing around. So they went, ah, like this, and I was like, ah, and I tried to play it off. Like, ah, I'm just playing. You know what I do. You know how I do it. Give me the ball. I got the ball back. I put it up. I said, Lord Jesus, if you love me, stop playing. The arms are still numb, Lord. The arms are still numb, Jesus. And I did it again, and I missed it. And I did it again, and I missed it. And now I'm sweating, and the pressure to perform is just on me. And I feel heavy. I'm like, hat, Lord, hat. I don't feel good, God. I don't feel good. Eventually, the ball went somewhere. But I felt that burden. It was unbearable. All I wanted to do with that pressure on me to perform, and I started to pretend like, oh, I was doing this on purpose. I started to act it out. All I wanted to do was get in the 18th hole. I wanted to crawl in that hole myself and just hide from everybody. It was so painful. I'll never forget it. I think it scarred me to this day. It was horrible. There's somebody here today. There's a mom. There's a son. There's a, I want to be a mother someday. There's a student, and life is going sideways, and you're missing, and you're missing, and you're missing because of the pressure of your circumstances and the weight that you feel to make it look like everything is going okay, and you've been trying to make believe and make them believe like everything's okay when you know it's not okay. You know it's not okay. The money's about to run out. It's not okay. The house that we're in, we can't afford it. We're about to lose it. You know it's not okay. He just lost his job. What are we going to do? The kids are in school. They're in the sports. It's not okay. What are we going to do? We miscarried again. It's not okay. The divorce is just so messy. The pressure to come to church, and here we are trying to make it look like we're all good. It's not okay. The pressure is too much. The good news is that Jesus understands that pressure, and he understands your burden. In Matthew 11, 28, I love the Message paraphrase translation. It says, are you tired? Yeah. You worn out? Mom, sometimes. I'm burned out in religion. Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn, I love this line, the unforced rhythms of grace. There's some rhythms of life that are not forced, and they're real graceful. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And Jesus understands the pressure to perform. He understands that weight that you carry, and he says, you can exchange your tiredness for my rest. Did you know that? If you let me do life with you and come and learn the way that I do life and have called you to experience it, you can give the Lord your pressure in exchange for the rhythms of his grace. You can let Jesus be your miracle worker in the same way that the groom was unable, under the pressure to perform, to provide. Jesus becomes the perfect bridegroom, and he delivers. Jesus can do the same thing for you. He understands, here's the good news, he understands the pressure that you feel to perform. And he says, give it to me. Let me produce a miracle in your life. Here's the second thing. Good news for mothers on Mother's Day. Jesus understands the pain of parenting. Jesus understands the pain of parenting. He had parents. Look in John chapter 2 and verse 4 of our story. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. And when you first read this, and I heard a little rumble when we first read the whole story, I get a little scared for Jesus. Because I know that it's not his time yet to go public with his ministry. But Jesus, did you know you just called your mother woman? Yeah. Jesus is getting a little spicy. Back up, Jesus. Back up. Hope there was some distance when you called her woman. I've never called my mom woman. She's sitting right over there, ever. She's always been mom. But I got close one time. When I was about 7 years old. I don't know if you remember this. My buddy Scott, we're hanging out, and I wanted to go spend the night at his house. He was over at my house, and he had to go home, and my mom said, no, he can't spend the night. I'm upset, frustrated, 7 years old, and he goes home, and I turned around. My mom was right here. I closed the door, and I just walked by, and I said, move. Yep, all of you know. All of you know. I just kept walking, because as soon as I said, oh, that was bad. Just keep going. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said that. I just went straight to my dad's room to get the biggest belt I could find. I said, Dad, I deserve it. I deserve it. I don't know what I was tripping. I was tripping. Should have never said that. Jesus calls his mother woman. He does it on purpose, and it's not disrespectful. In the first century, to call her woman was a noble greeting. It's an admirable title. It means person of value and honor. And so he honors her as his mother. And I know Mary, though, had some parenting moments when she probably didn't feel honorable. And I know you parents probably have some parent moments when you don't feel like you were very honorable. I know Vanessa and I have had one. We lost Levi at Disneyland for like 3 minutes in the food court. And he was like 3 years old. And we're at the food court having a good time, and we look around, and we're like, where's Levi? And I said, I thought you had him. And she said, I thought you had him. I said, I thought you had him. I thought you had him. Couldn't find him. She went this way. I went this way. We come up the stairs, and he was chilling. He was like, what's up? I was good. I was watching you guys. Like, hey. 3 minutes. It was so long. It was horrible. Watch this. Mary lost Jesus for 3 days. But he honors her. Luke 2, verse 46, this is the story. 3 days later, they finally discovered him, Jesus, in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? You hear the pain in that sentence. Son, why have you done this to me? Daughter, why have you done this to me? I can't believe this is happening right now. Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere, but why did you need to search, he asked. Didn't you know? They didn't know. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Jesus isn't bothered. He's not lost. But his mother Mary, she's frantic and she's fearful. She's overwhelmed. She says, didn't you? Jesus, where have you been? We've been looking for you. I can't believe we forgot about you. We just left without you. We weren't thinking of you. And we had to go around. And can you imagine those conversations? Have you seen Jesus? No, why? He's been missing a day. You lost him? Yeah, we lost him. Have you seen Jesus? How long has it been? It's been a day and a half. You still haven't found Jesus? Dang. It's been 2 days. It's been 3 days. And they finally found Jesus. And I'm sure she probably feels embarrassed because she finds him. And here's all these people in the caravan of family and friends that are with her. There they are. Oh, thank goodness they found Jesus. And now she has to come. Why were you looking for me? And they don't understand. I don't understand my child. I'm a bad parent. I've failed. Maybe she's feeling that failure right there in that moment. And she's having to process that with Jesus. But you fast forward 18 years. To our story in John chapter 2. And even though Jesus disagrees with his mother at her request to help with the wine, it's not my time yet. He speaks to her with honor. A woman of noble character. In Proverbs 31, verse 28, it speaks of a mother of noble character. It says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her, saying, there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you, singular woman, surpass them all. I feel like the Lord wants to prophetically speak that over someone's life today. There's a mother, there's a grandmother, there's a daughter, there's somebody in the room today, and you just feel the shame and the weight of the decisions you've been making, or the pain of parenting, or the pain of being a son, or the pain of being a daughter with the relationship, and it's just, you just feel that burden. It's heavy. But the Lord wants to speak to you today and prophetically say, no, I've called you worthy and noble. I've called you clean and pure. I've called you worthy of my love. By the grace of God, your sins have been forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus. He lived for you. He died for you. He's living so you can have salvation. He wants to call you noble today. A woman, you are righteous and virtuous, worthy of my love. It's the good news that Jesus understands the pressure to perform. He understands the pain that's even in parenting and the mistakes that we make. And here's number three. Jesus understands the power to push. Everybody say push. Push. God gives people the power to push. And on Mother's Day, that can mean a few things. I was there in the labor room for the birth of both of my children, Levi and Anaya. But in case you were confused, I didn't do any pushing. I was there. Vanessa did all the pushing. My job was to get out of the way. Don't mess anything up. Run and get ice chips, bring them back, give it a little back rub. Don't give a back rub. Give a back rub, don't give a back rub. Make sure everything was good. But to push and birth a child, you ladies are superheroes. And the power that God gives you is only by the grace of God and only by God himself. But there's another type of push. In John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we continue in the story. Woman, why do you involve me? There it is again, Jesus replied. By my hour has not yet come, his mother then says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. So Jesus says, woman, why do you involve me? It's not time for my miraculous power to be revealed to the world yet. That should be the end of the story. But I love this mic drop moment by Mary, because she says, not to Jesus, maybe she gives Jesus a wink, like, I hear you. But then she turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you to do, because he's about to do it. What happens? Jesus does his first miracle. It's the beginning. It was the very first sign of his glory being revealed publicly. And his mother was the one, out of her love and her care and her nurturing kindness, who pushes him, Jesus, into his purpose. And sometimes God wants you and I to do the same thing. And to lovingly push the people that are closest to us in their purpose. How do we do that? Well, sometimes you got to P-U-S-H. You got to pray until something happens, kind of push. You got to, I'm going to pray, God, because nothing's been happening. But I know that there's power to push, and I see it in scripture, and I see that Jesus' mother, Mary, Jesus says, woman, why are you bothering me? She says, okay, Jesus, do whatever he says to do, because he's about to do it. She gives him the push. How do we do that? Sometimes I just got to pray and say, Lord, I know that nothing's happened yet. I know it hasn't happened in my family yet. I know it hasn't happened in my son's life and my daughter's life and our finances, but God, I'm going to pray and push, and please give me the power to do it. I'm going to pray until something happens. Or for others of you, you got to P-U-S-H. You got to praise until something happens, because you're tired of praying, and now you got to stop asking and just start praising him. And say, Lord, I'm just going to praise you, because I know I've seen you do it before. I've seen you do it in the past. I've seen you do it for other people. So I just give you glory. I give you praise and honor, and I will praise you until there's a shift in my life, until there's a change in my heart, until there's a change in my daughter's body, until there's a change in my son's addiction. I'm going to praise you, God. Oh, you are so marvelous. I will praise until something happens. For others of you, you got to pursue until something happens. Because they're not calling back, and they don't want you there, and you're not getting the invitation, but you got to keep pressing. You got to keep pursuing. I'm going to keep calling. I'm going to keep texting. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep sending the gift even though they didn't send the gift. I'm going to keep sending notes even though they never send the note. I'm going to keep giving compliments even though they don't give me the compliments. He never tells me anything, but I'm going to be kind and love. I'm just going to pursue him, Lord, until something happens. I'm just going to pursue her, God, until there's a shift. Lord, you get my burden. Sometimes we got to P-U-S-H, prophesy until something happens. And you begin to speak God's word over your situation. I declare that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. And even though my whole situation looks terrible, I believe that God has made me powerful, more than a conqueror. I declare over my son's life that he will be a champion. He'll be a leader. God, you got a plan for his life, plans to prosper him, not to harm him. And you begin to declare the future things of God over their life, because I'm gonna push my family, my loved ones, myself into God's purpose and plan for my life. Motherhood is beautiful. It's a gift, but sometimes it's a burden. It's weight that you carry. The good news is Jesus understands and he gets it. And there's pressure and there's pain, but it gives you the power to push. Here's something really cool I found out recently. We can put this picture up. It's a picture of an oyster, and there's a pearl inside of it. I want you to maybe after this go back and you can see what happens before this, and it's kind of messy. It's not pretty. But I found out recently that the way that pearls are made, they don't just happen. You just don't open up the oyster and there it is. You don't just buy the necklace at the store. But there's an outside piece of sand or bacteria or something that's not supposed to be there that feels like pressure that comes against the oyster. And it gets inside, and because of that pressure that it feels, it starts to produce pain. And the pain of that piece of sand or the bacteria that's now in the oyster begins to irritate the fine lining that's inside the oyster. There's pressure pushing, and the pain is now irritating. And the oyster's response is to push that thing out. But instead of pushing it out, that very thing that was causing the pressure and causing the pain now turns into something beautiful, and it creates a pearl. That's what God wants to do in so many of your lives today. Mothers, sons, daughters, first-time guest, long-time faithful believer. We've all experienced the pressure to make things look like it's all good, even though it's not. But God wants to use it. And we all know that there's pain in our relationships, whether it's parenting or not. But God can help us to push, and out of that pushing towards him with Jesus at the center can make it beautiful in Jesus' name in a way that only Jesus can. Come on, clap your hands. Let's thank the Lord that he can take all of that pressure, he can take all of that pain, and he can make it beautiful. I want to invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I want to pray with you today. Lord, we thank you that you can make all things beautiful. Motherhood is beautiful. It's a gift, Lord, from you. At times, it's heavy. It feels like a burden, like a heavy weight. But God, when we give that to you and we declare and know that you understand the pressure and the pain, but you give us the power to push, to see a shift in our lives. God, I pray that right now that would take place. We bless every single mom in the house today, every single spiritual mom, every single stepmom or soon-to-be mom or the mom that made the mistake, the family that's going through it. God, we just bless them right now. We pray your Holy Spirit would fill them up fresh and make them brand new. And if there's somebody here today that you need to push into the things of God for yourself and meet Jesus, give your life to him for the first time, because it makes sense, but it makes more sense once you give your life to him and say, Lord, I'm gonna invite you into my life, because today I heard that there's a God that loves me and you understand even the worst things of my life. If you need to invite him to take over, invite him to forgive your sin, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the quiet of your heart. You can pray, dear God, I admit that I've sinned. I admit that I've fallen short of your glory. I believe that you live for me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you love me and that you have the power to forgive my sin. And I thank you that you understand my pain. You understand the pressure. And I thank you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can draw close to you. And so come into my life today. Make me brand new. Give me a new mind, Holy Spirit. Give me a new life. I love you. Thank you. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are still closed, if you prayed that prayer, whether to recommit your life as a mother, as a husband, as a son, a student, whoever, or to give your life to Jesus for the very first time in the count of three, just want you to raise your hand, shoot it up as high as you can. With all courage and boldness, I want to see you so I can pray for you. One, two, three, raise your hand up. Awesome, all across the room. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Amazing. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you for every single hand, every single life that said, Jesus, we need you. Thank you that you understand our lives. Even in the darkest moments and the greatest moments, Lord, you see it all and you know it all. We thank you for your scripture today. Thank you that you understand the pressure and the pain, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can push towards you and the things of God. And so we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We all said amen, amen, and amen. Come on.